بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين ولكن المنافقين لا يعلمون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: العلماء ورثة الأنبياء. وقال سيدنا أبو الدرداء رضي الله عنه: كن عالما أو متعلما أو مستمعا أو محبا، وإلا فأحب العلماء ولا تبغضهم. Respected friends and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with so many ni'mat, so many bounties. It's impossible for a person to enumerate the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا. If you even try to enumerate the favors and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll never be able to do so. In addition to the bounties that Allah has given us and other people of the dunya, health, wealth, and so many other ni'mas that we share with other people in the dunya, there are certain ni'mats, respected friends and elders, and certain bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with in this country that many people of the dunya are deprived of. And that is, respected friends and elders, the setup of deen that we have in this country. The amount of masjids, the amount of madrasas, the amount of maktab madrasas in the afternoons, the amount of khanqas, the amount of tablighi jamaats and markazes, the amount of ulama and huffaz, the amount of khayr that is being done, humanitarian aid, etc. The amount of freedom Allah has given us in all of these matters of deen, respected friends and elders, many other places of the dunya are deprived of. This is a great, great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are places in the dunya, till today, there are Muslims in the dunya, if he wants to read Jum'ah salah, he has to travel for miles on end. He has to travel for half an hour, 1 hour to go to some place to get a jamaat and congregation for Jum'ah salah. There are some places in the dunya, some countries far off, where in the entire country only a few Muslims. There's no environment of deen. There's no masjid at every corner, mashallah, or musalla. There is no madrasa and alim wherever you turn. No abundance of huffaz. Some don't have any hafiz at all. Yet in our country, respected friends and elders, in our communities, in our areas, there is no shortage of this. And respected friends and elders, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, people throughout the globe are benefiting. People throughout the globe are benefiting from the jamaats of our country, going there, receiving our jamaats, or coming to this country to spend time in jamaat and benefit. There are people throughout the dunya that come to this country to take admission to become hafiz of Quran. There are people from throughout the globe, respected friends and elders, that come to this country to study and become ulama of deen. There are people throughout the globe that some of them come to spend time in the company of some pious person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the system of deen, which is now here, alhamdulillah, through the effort of our seniors before us, our senior ulama, the generation before us, and the general Muslim layman, the general Muslim businessman who supported deen. It is the fruit of their effort, respected friends and elders. Today we see, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah doesn't allow the reward of those who do good to be wasted and lost. So alhamdulillah, people are benefiting throughout the globe. But the question is that how much am I benefiting? It should not be, respected friends and elders, that the area that is closest to the candle, the area that is surrounding the candle, is the darkest. We should not be that example, that candle is lit and people are benefiting with the light of ilm and knowledge throughout the globe from this country. But we who are right next to that candle, right next to that flame, we are in the dark spot. We are deprived. We are not taking benefit. How many times we hear the adhan for the Zuhr Salah, the masjid is around the corner, the musalla or jamaat khana is hardly a few steps outside my shop, but I don't have the tawfiq to go and read Salah. In jamaat, in a place where adhan is called, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to read our salat in places from where the adhan is called. You may have a small namaz room in the business, but it is definitely better and safer for our deen for us to go out, leave that environment fully and completely, and come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where there'll be a bigger congregation, more thawab, more benefit. How many a times this opportunity came and went in my life and I never benefited? How many a times the jamaat came and knocked on my door and I made an excuse? Or I came out and gave them a few minutes, but I couldn't give them more than that. I couldn't step out of my home and come spend some time in the masjid with them. How many a times there was an announcement of some special program in the masjid? Some alim, visiting alim, local alim, having some kind of a bayan, program, lecture. But I was distracted and I left the masjid after the salat because I had somebody waiting outside and I had some business deal after hours waiting for me. And I never benefited from that majlis and that gathering of ilm, that alim availing himself. How many a times maybe our children, respected friends and elders, our children, we took them and we put them in the schools. Yes, they have to learn how to live in this dunya. There is no denying that reality. But when it came to the madrasa, then whenever there was time, we sent them to madrasa. And at the slightest excuse, we took them out of the madrasa. How sad won't it be, respected friends and elders, that when we do realize what we have, but the opportunity has gone by, then how much of remorse and regret? In Arabic, there's a saying, إِذَا هَبَّتْ نَفْحَتُكَ فَاغْتَنِمْهَا. When the wind blows your direction, meaning when your opportunity presents itself towards you, then grab it, then take hold of it, maximize your benefit. Let us look into our lives, respected friends and elders. Are we really maximizing this opportunity Allah has given us? Are we really benefiting as we ought to benefit? Each person, each individual of society can benefit to his level. The child can be sent to a madrasa. The grown-up can go out in the path of Allah, spend time in the company of some alim in the masjid. Come close to the masjid, close to the ulama. The ladies have their ta'aleem and they have their system. Every person, alhamdulillah, can benefit in some way or the other. But are we really benefiting? Is this all just there outside, respected friends and elders, for others to benefit and not for us? Many a times we compromise these opportunities of deen in search of dunya. Generally, it's in search of dunya. A man couldn't come to the masjid because he was busy earning a livelihood. He wants to earn that extra buck. That child was not sent to madrasa because he must get some degree of the world. And whatever else, a man compromises his deen because of dunya. And why do people, respected friends and elders, why do people toil for the dunya? Why do people make that effort that they want to earn that wealth? It's because they want to enjoy themselves. They want to get this ladhat and ecstasy and enjoyment here. And they want to enjoy some kind of izzat and respect that I am the richest man. I built a house nobody built like mine. I was the first to get this particular car, etc. I went on a particular holiday to a particular destination to get ladhat and enjoyment and to get respect in the eyes of people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not kept ladhat and enjoyment in the dunya. Allah has not kept, respected friends and elders, respect in dunya. Allah has not kept peace and satisfaction of the heart in dunya. We are looking in the wrong place. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. All respect belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for the true believers, those who valued their deen, those who had iman, those who were the true mu'minun, Allah gives them respect. Respected friends and Allah, there's so much of respect, so much of ladhat in deen, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the knowledge of deen, that Allah has not kept such ecstasy in dunya. Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah used to say, "Inna lafi ladhatin." We in the obedience of Allah, in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are experiencing such ladhat. We are experiencing such enjoyment, ecstasy. We are having so much of fun, so to say. لَفِي لَذَّةٍ لَوْ عَلِمَهَا الْمُلُوكُ لَجَادَلُونَ عَلَيْهَا بِالسُّيُوفِ. If the kings of the world had to know what we experience, if they had to know what enjoyment we are experiencing, they would come with their swords to fight us and rob us of that ecstasy and enjoyment. Allah has placed such enjoyment, respected friends and Allah's in deen, that even the kings of the dunya don't experience. People work all their lives in politics to reach some kind of position. to become the richest man in the town, the mayor of the town, the ruler of some country. Yet what every Muslim, every lay Muslim, so to say, Allah, what opportunity Allah has given him, that person who may seem to have achieved a lot in dunya has got no such opportunity. The ladhat and enjoyment, the peace and izzat Allah will give, respected friends and elders, this is an opportunity Allah has given every single ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is for us to put ourselves forward and experience this ladhat and enjoyment. See the izzat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept with his deen. This is such izzat, respected friends and elders, that even, like we said, even the kings and rulers of the dunya, the richest person of the dunya also can dream of experiencing such ladhat. Ibn al-Amid, rahimahullah, was a governor and a minister. So he was, so to say, in charge of fellow subjects. He said once, he says, I used to think that there was no maqam, there was no position higher, and there was no more respect for any human than rulership, than being in charge of fellow humans, than controlling fellow humans. They are ashraful makhluqat, and they are at your mercy, at your control, at your command. He says, I felt that that was the highest position of respect. Until one day I saw two ulama, two alims of deen sitting and discussing. One was Imam Abu Bakr al-Ji'abi rahimahullah, and the other was Imam Tabarani rahimahullah. They were sitting and debating and discussing some issues. And Imam Tabarani rahimahullah was a great muhaddith and a great hafiz. He had a very, very powerful memory. And by virtue of his brilliant memory, he was dominating the argument. And on the other side, the other alim, Abu Bakr al-Ji'abi rahimahullah, was a genius. And he was very, very intelligent. And with logical arguments, he was then, you know, able to combat and answer. Until Abu Bakr al-Ji'abi rahimahullah then tells him, he says, عندي حديث ليس عند أحد في الدنيا. I got one hadith nobody in the dunya has got. So Imam Tabarani rahimahullah tells him, هاته, bring it, produce it, quote it. And then he says, حدثني أبو خليفة قال حدثني سليمان بن أيوب. And then he quotes the entire chain, that I got the hadith from my ustad Abu Khalifa, who got it from his ustad, whose name was Sulaiman ibn Ayyub. And he carries on mentioning the chain and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Ibn al-Amid is watching, the minister is watching this discussion. He says, then Tabarani, Imam Tabarani rahimahullah, turns to him and tells him, that you got this hadith from your ustad Abu Khalifa, and your ustad got this hadith from Sulaiman ibn Ayyub. I am Sulaiman ibn Ayyub. Take the hadith from me. And he says, Ibn al-Amid rahimahullah then says, Tabarani rahimahullah then quotes that hadith, and Ji'abi rahimahullah felt so humbled and so small, so to say, in front of him, and then giving in to the maqam of Imam Tabarani rahimahullah. He says, at that time I wished. He had rulership. He had position, so to say, outwardly in dunya. He says, at that time I had wished that Allah never gave me this position, and I was in the place of Tabarani rahimahullah to experience that feeling and joy and ladda that he would have had at that time by producing this answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept izzah and respect, respected friends and elders, in the knowledge of deen. In deen and knowledge of deen, I haven't seen in my young life where we find hundreds, sometimes thousands of people gathering in a masjid, in a madrasa, to attend a graduation jalsa, a graduation of a person qualifying as some professional of the dunya. It's not to belittle the professions of the dunya, but to show us things in proper perspective, respected friends and elders. But when a young boy, he is hardly in his teens sometimes, a young masoom boy, hardly in his teens, finishes Quran, we find everybody, those who know him and don't know him also. But there's a jalsa of khatam of Quran, they are there. Why are they there? They are there because they want that sunni at the end, some chocolate at the end, or some food at the end. No, they have come to honor this boy. They have come to honor the occasion. This is izzat, respected friends and elders. This is true honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. To come and honor the young hafiz of Quran, or some young person graduating as a qari of Quran, or as a alim of deen. We haven't seen graduations like that where ulama, sulaha, pious people, the young, the old, the rich, the poor, all gathering to honor the graduation of this person. This is the respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Look around you, respected friends and elders. Leave the masjid after salah, and you will find that there may be the richest man of the town also walking. And you find a alim of deen, a respectable alim in the community. See how the people rush to make salam to that elderly alim. Again, I'm not here to belittle anything else. I'm showing you things in proper perspective. When he comes to put his shoes on, there are people waiting to put his shoes on. There are people waiting to straighten his shoes, and they feel privileged, not obliged. They feel happy, alhamdulillah, today I was able to make khidmat of the senior alim that has come to my community. He maybe had some need, he went to the toilet, his walking stick he had to leave outside. This person is ready to hold the walking stick. He feels privileged to honor this alim. What is he getting from honoring him? Is that alim going to give him something in his hand? Is he going to pay him? This is izzat and respect, respected friends and elders, Allah has placed in the hearts of people. Once Harun al-Rashid, rahimahullah, the famous leader of his time, visited a city called Raqqa. When he got there, very few people came to meet him. And if there was some assembly, then it was out of fear that the king has come. And after a short while, Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahimahullah, a senior muhaddith of his time, also came. When he came into the town, hundreds of people surrounded him. People were all following him and chasing after him. So the slave girl of Harun al-Rashid, she heard this din and commotion outside on the street. So she comes to the balcony and she checks. She sees such a big crowd. So she asks, what has happened? They said, no, hadha alimu Khurasan, the greatest alim of this area, Khurasan, Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahimahullah, has visited the town today. And these are the people all crowding up to meet him and benefit from him. She who is living a life of royalty, she who sees the royal life is saying, she says, hadha wallahi al-mulk. By the qasam of Allah, this is kingdom. He's ruling over the hearts of people. This is kingdom. La mulku Harun al-Rashid. Not the kingdom of Harun al-Rashid. Alladhi la yajma'u an-nasa illa bi-shurati wal-a'wan. That when Harun al-Rashid comes, then the police and the army has to gather the people. And out of fear for them, people come and stand in front out of respect for him. This man has come, this alim of deen has come into the town. Voluntarily, people are rushing out of love and muhabbat. This is real kingdom. This is real izzat and respect Allah gives. So respected friends and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these tools of izzat and respect in this country. It is in the deen, in the knowledge of deen. And by knowledge of deen, it doesn't mean that a man has to give up whatever he's doing and go and take admission in some darul uloom and dedicate years of his life. No, respected friends and elders. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. There are so many opportunities that with your day-to-day activities, join up. Create some ta'alluq with some alim of deen, some hafiz, some qari, correct your recitation of Qur'an. Give some time for the knowledge of deen. We come to the bayan, a lecture on Fridays, we are forced to come, so to say. We have to be here. But you attend any other lecture, a Friday lecture or any other lecture, and a lecture given by an alim of deen, then what is that? That is a gathering of ilm. You are now acquiring ilm, you are joining yourself up to the system. And those who have children, respected friends and elders, then yes, they may want to earn a livelihood in the dunya. They may want to get qualifications of the world. Let them go and progress, and we need to be Muslims in every sphere of life. But before that, respected friends and elders, give them the knowledge of deen. Send them to the maktab, and send them duly, faithfully to the maktab. Make them hafiz of Quran, and those who get the tawfiq, make them ulama also. And those who don't send their sons to become ulama, at least hafiz of Quran. Give him knowledge of Qur'an. Give him that basic knowledge in the maktab. Then make him whatever else you want to make him in the dunya. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept true izzat and true respect in the masjid, in deen, in Qur'an, in the knowledge of deen. And what is outside is all asbab. What is outside has to continue. But it's there as a means of earning the livelihood. The real barakah, respected friends and elders, is here. And there may be many people who maybe don't have children now, or whose children are grown up, or maybe don't have children. Then we too can join up. Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu mentioned, kun aliman aw muta'alliman. Become a alim of deen. Become a alim of deen. Or one who is aspiring to become a, one who is learning from the ulama. Kun aliman aw muta'alliman aw mustami'an. Or at least one who will listen. Take mashura and listen from the ulama. In other words, have some kind of a link with the ulama of deen. وَإِلَّا فَأَحِبَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَلَا تُبْغِضْهُمْ. And if not, you are not a alim. You couldn't spend time in their company. You couldn't make mashura directly with them. At least have love in your heart for ulama. Have love for the knowledge of deen and the possessors of knowledge of deen. وَلَا تُبْغِضْهُمْ. Don't hate them. Don't speak bad of them. Respected friends and elders, I didn't plan to say it, but how sad is it? How sad is it? Where have we gone wrong? That when we see some article that is maligning some alim of deen, we get happy. The next time some publication appears, we're waiting to see who's next in line, and we get happy, and we discuss it, and we share that knowledge, and we share that piece of information, that this person is swearing that alim, and this person is speaking ill of that alim, and we're sharing it, and we're taking ladhat out of it. Where did we really go wrong? Even a lay Muslim, respected friends and elders, has made a mistake. If he legitimately has made a mistake, really, genuinely has made a mistake, it is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for us to rejoice at his musibat. Not for us to rejoice that he is wrong and his sin. What guarantee do we have about our own selves? So, وَإِلَّا فَأَحِبَّ الْعُلَمَا. Have love for the ulama. Have love for the effort of deen. Have love for those who are engaged in the knowledge of deen. وَلَا تُبْغِضْهُمْ. And don't hate them. Alhamdulillah, like I mentioned at the beginning, the general masses, by and large, alhamdulillah, have got a close bond with the ulama and the ahlul ilm. And it is this bond, mashallah, that has allowed us to progress to such heights, alhamdulillah, where we have such a beautiful Islamic setup in our country. Many, many foreigners, when they visit the country, think of making hijrah and migrating and spending their lives here because of the environment we have. This is definitely the culmination of the effort of both the senior ulama and the general Muslim who has supported, whether it be financially, whether it be moral support as well, having love and ihtiram and muhabbat in the heart for the ulama. And this love and muhabbat, respected friends and elders, is what will carry us even in dunya. My Ustad, Shaykh Muhammad Awama, Hafidhahullah, mentioned this incident recently when we were discussing the topic of support for ilm and knowledge of deen. And he says, this is an incident that needs to be shared. And he wrote this in his book as well. There was Nizamul Mulk, who was a minister for two kings. In his time, he was a minister for two kings. When he became the minister of the second king, who was the son of the previous king, Abu al-Futuh, then it became known to Abu al-Futuh, who was the king now and the ruler, that Nizamul Mulk is spending 600,000 gold coins every year from the public treasury. And he is spending it on the ulama, on those who are alims, on those who are studying to become ulama, those who are the sulaha, the pious, those who are engaged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is spending and supporting them. So the king, he had a lot of respect also, so he calls the minister and he addresses him as Ya Abati, oh my father. He's the king, but he had so much of respect for his minister, who was a senior and who was the minister of his father as well. So he tells him, I have heard that you are spending 600,000 gold coins yearly on people who don't benefit us. People who don't benefit us. So then Nizamul Mulk turns to him and tells him, firstly, let us understand, he tells him, let us understand my value and your value. If we are to be put up for sale as slaves, nobody will be prepared to buy us. We've got no value. And then he says, وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ وَأَكْثَرُ مَا يَصْعَدُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَعَاصِيكَ دُونَ طَاعَتِكَ. I'm going to mention this conversation, respected friends and elders, but let us try and envisage that maybe he's speaking to us. Let us try and think he's speaking to us. He says that most of the time the things, your a'mal and your deeds that go up to Allah, in those deeds there is more sin than good. Number one. Number two, وَأَعَدْتَ جُيُوشَكَ. You have prepared your armies, and your armies are well equipped. People like me and you may not have armies, but we have our alarm systems, and we have the securities, and we have employees, and we have people around us serving us. So he says, you have prepared a very powerful army, that if time comes to defend, they may take out long, powerful swords, and they are all great marksmen. They won't miss the target if they had to shoot their arrows. Again he says, وَهُمْ مَعَ ذَلِكَ مُسْتَغْرِقُونَ فِي الْمَعَاصِي وَالْخُمُورِ. But despite that, your army, they are filled up in sin. فِي الْمَعَاصِي وَالْخُمُورِ وَالْمَلَاهِي وَالنُّدَمَاءِ وَالطُّمْبُورِ. They are engaged in all types of wrong and alcohol and all sin. So what is their worth in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then he says, وَأَقَمْتُ لَكَ جَيْشًا. I have prepared an army for you. أَقَمْتُ لَكَ جَيْشًا يُسَمُّونَ جَيْشَ اللَّيْلِ. These people are called the army of the night. جَيْشُ اللَّيْلِ. إِذَا نَامَتْ جُيُوشُكَ لَيْلًا قَامَتْ جُيُوشُ اللَّيْلِ. When your army sleeps at night, when your subordinates, your employees, your workers, your khadims, when they go to sleep at night, this army of the night wakes up. على أرجلهم بين صفوفا بين يدي ربهم. They stand up on their feet in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وأرسلوا دموعهم. They allow their tears to flow on their cheeks in front of Allah. وأطلقوا بالدعاء ألسنتهم. And their tongues move with dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ومدوا إلى الله أكفهم بالدعاء لك ولجيوشك. And they raise their hands making dua to Allah for you who is supporting them. And for your armies. فأنت وجيوشك في خفارتهم تعيشون. You and your armies are living because of them. You are being protected and living safely because of them. وبدعائهم تبيتون. When they're making dua at night, you are allowed to sleep safely that night. وببركتهم تمطرون وترزقون. With their barakat, Allah sends down rain. With their barakat, Allah is giving you risk and sustenance and whatever you're getting in this dunya. يطلقون سهامهم إلى السماء الرابعة. Their arrows. You had an army that were master marksmen. Their arrows reach up to the seventh heaven, asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بالدعاء لك ولجيوشك, by making dua to Allah for you and for your armies. So this Abu al-Futuh, the king, then begins to cry for baka bukaan shadidan. It says he cried profusely, realizing the reality. Realizing we think Allah is giving from one place, in the meanwhile Allah has kept it somewhere else. And then he tells him, Shabash, Shabash, that well done, well done. Akthir min hadal jaysh. Add to the numbers of this army. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, respected friends and elders, of understanding that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept our izzat and our respect. Where are we supposed to be putting our salahiyat? Where are we supposed to be putting our love? We are supposed to be channeling our efforts, respected friends and elders, and that is for deen and the knowledge of deen and the people of deen. Link ourselves up in some way or the other. Yes, on one hand, alhamdulillah, we have this great environment. Great environment, alhamdulillah. But it is up to us, respected friends and elders. A person can be right here, like I mentioned, but the area around the candle is the darkest. He could be in that dark spot and not benefiting. And a man can be in the worst of places, in the first world country. He may be in the West, in a place where there isn't such a beautiful environment. But he can make an effort on his child, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show him results. The last time I performed Jum'ah in this masjid, there was a father here who had come from America. He had come because, I know him for the past nearly 20 years. When his children initially came from Pakistan to America, after they got their visas, he was there for a while. Then his son was about 6 or 7 years old. And he used to say at that time, Marana, when he grows up, I'm going to send him to y'all. He must become an alim of deen. And then one day in passing at that time, he tells me, you know, the son of man, when he came from Pakistan, now he grew up, the child grew up the first few years. He grew up with no father and he grew up in the village. So maybe he never had so much of respect, etc. He lived a hard life. So he says when he came to America, people used to ask him, when you grow up, what do you want to become? When you grow up, what do you want to become? He says, my son, out of concern, the father says, my son used to say, I want to become a daku. I want to become a gangster. Respected friends and elders, that father made such an effort, alhamdulillah. Saved him from the evil environment. Put him in Islamic studies from the beginning. Put him by his ustad, made him a hafiz of Quran. Then sent him here. The day came when the father came for his graduation jalsa. The day came when he qualified as an alim of deen. In the jalsa, respected friends and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him so much. He, the son, this same son who wanted to become a daku and a gangster, he was the one reciting the last hadith of Bukhari Sharif. From a class of 13, he was chosen to read. Not because his father came, but because he was qualified enough for it. And on the other hand, how many examples we may know of, and I know of, that there was one youngster, when I asked him personally, what do you want to become when you grow up? He would say, I want to become a Shaykhul Hadith. Respected friends and elders, Allah is the one who does. Yes, parents make an effort, inshallah. 10 years after that, if you looked at that person, that boy who told me he wanted to become a Shaykh al-Hadith, if you looked at him, you would think he's a non-Muslim. He looked like a gangster. In our environment, in this place where we have such a beautiful setup, respected friends and elders. So let us not become complacent. Wherever we are, we still need to take that step, respected friends and elders. We still need to make that effort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of understanding. There are so many examples in our society. Yes, we don't point fingers at any person. And it is the parents who made an effort, alhamdulillah. The ustads made an effort. But sometimes it turns out that we find around us so many of our children now, unfortunately, falling into drugs, falling into zina, falling into alcohol, and even worse, losing their iman. So many of them, respected friends and elders, losing their iman and becoming atheists, saying that we are just doing, they are confessing, they are saying we are just doing and going for salah to the father because he will scold us. We are just reading salat because we have to. Otherwise inside we got no belief. We don't believe in anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. This is a very sad reality. Allah give us tawfiq, respected friends and elders, of understanding what are our duties and where are our priorities. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.